KIW iRadio 76 proudly presents the 515 Show with your host, John Sarver. Who's at the 515 door today?
Well, who is at the 515 today? The door is none other but our good friend Nick Genowick, all the way from Ubly, Michigan, the beautiful hills of Ubly. And everything that's up there at the Ubly Drag Strip. Nick, drop by, say hi. Good to see you, man.
Hey, how the heck are you guys all doing today on a absolutely nice day? Not too shabby. I'll take it all day.
Yep, it's a wonderful Tuesday today. So, what we want to do with YOU that we have you here, there's all kinds of stuff going on because it's kind of like, I guess, spring training for baseball. This is where everybody gets to see where they get the itch ready to go, and they're ready to see what's going to go on. A lot of things happening at the Ubly Drag Strip this off-season, isn't there?
Oh, there's been a lot that's been going on. We've been doing a lot of traveling, a lot of beating the American asphalt, trying to take on work on a few things. There's a few things that we've come to light with, which is always good to hear from everybody. And I can jump right into one of those right away.
Go.
First thing that we are all doing, one, we're actually relaxing in the off season. That doesn't happen very often. But
how did you do that?
Well, as we would say, we all divided and conquered instead of, just sending out the one lone wolf to take and do a little bit of work. But
okay,
we actually get to take and relax a little tiny bit. My dad and my mom, they went down to Indianapolis. A lot of walking and talking. Got to see a few things that we've always seen in the backside. And a few things have come to light. A few things, we're still getting almost everything 100% concrete with the schedule. One major thing that we were doing this year, someone said, we want some lights. We're going to put some lights up for everybody.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, which means for the people who are, casually interested in drag racing, now that you have the lights, what do you get to do with those? I mean, obviously,
well,
like the track, but.
True. Yeah. No, it is not going to look like a runway. It'll kind of look like a runway, but I mean, it'll be definitely bright.
So no ultra lights will be there at night?
Well, I'm not saying we might be out there playing football at night, but it happens.
Okay. So what do you get to do now? You're going to have some nighttime races, obviously.
That's one thing we're looking at. Am I the biggest fan of nighttime racing? I'm on the fence with it. It's kind of cool. You don't get to see it all that often. But the other big thing is for safety. We have run into darkness in the past, and we finally said, you know what? We don't want anybody getting hurt, and we just want to keep everybody as safe as possible. So kind of have a go-ahead on getting all the lights and everything. Now we just got to wait for Mother Nature to help us out so we can start getting equipment in there to start getting things moved around.
Wow.
But that's the fun part. And everybody at the driver's meeting, they were like, holy crap. It's like, yeah, we like keep seeing you guys still on the, above ground, being able to make fun of me like everybody does. Don't start, John. I know you're going to jump
in here.
That wasn't
going. No, baby. We ain't going to touch it. All right. But what is... So now we can race later at night. So that means more cars. That means start later. That means nighttime racing. What does that mean?
Well, we're still going to be on the always start early, try to finish early. It's always been the theory. If we can take and throw in an extra, a gambler's race, which is a fun race for everybody to take and jump into to keep everybody, happy as always, I've got no issue with that.
Wow. Would you actually have scheduled a nighttime race?
We're looking into that. It may not happen this year.
Okay.
We've already actually looked into next year to see, when we could possibly do it. Let's face it, you get into October, we start at 9 o'clock in the morning, we still have the chance of running into the darkness, which has happened in the past. Hence why everyone said, let's put some lights up, let's keep these drivers even safer than we already do.
The wonderful thing, too, is I'm thinking that if you got bad weather at 2 and it went away by 4 and the track is dry by 5, you can keep folks still going 7, 8, 9 o'clock.
That is the other plan as well. If we end up running to, you know, Mother Nature, it absolutely, it hurt us last year. That's been 3 years in a row. You know, we try to schedule something and Mother Nature says, nope, not today.
But yeah. I see your Mopar Nationals and raise you one. Yes, you're right, of 2 years ago. You're right.
A few years ago, it wasn't even, yeah, we could have gone fishing in the back 40.
Yeah, yes. Now, how's the track holding up over the winter?
Absolutely phenomenal.
Really?
We walked it the other day. Matter of fact, last week we walked the surface. You know, there's still some snow and some ice on it, but there's not been any movement in anything, which, I mean, that when I first walked in, I was like, whew, I can finally breathe a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, because really, that could have sank anywhere, you know, and then
sure.
We don't even want to, we know what it takes to bring that up or even to try to equal that out, level that out. Yeah, not pretty, not cheap. You know, so
no, that goes back into, we're starting back from square one. Everybody grabs some jackhammers and grabs your biggest hammer you got because we're starting back all over again. Thank God that did not happen.
Well, that's kind of cool then. That means that it's settled, I would assume. I mean, over the year, over the wintertime, this was going to be the test considering it was laid down in the fall last year, right?
That is correct. It was actually laid down in August. And everybody said that's not the greatest time to be laying concrete. And you know, there's a few mishaps that, were very, very unforeseen, or else we'd have had everything laid back in late May into June. But, again, that was unforeseen things that we couldn't predict. But that does happen. Let's face it, everyone, you know, their schedules get busy.
Yeah, so now we got lights coming in. We got other improvements. Anything else coming by?
Well, there's a few of the things that we do have on the docket, if you will. I've been told, you know, I can't reveal those just yet, which I understand. You got to make sure that everything is, you know, 100% before, you know, someone says, Nick, give him the go-ahead. So,
come on. It's only me and you
things.
Here.
Oh, heck, and I can't do that, John. You know me. Gosh darn it.
Okay, darn it. Well, we tried. Okay.
I know. You got to wrangle Sue really quick. She's itching. I know she is.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she is. No, actually, Greg wants to bring out his mini bike, you know.
We got to put a bottle on that mini bike so they can just slow him down. He's going to go too fast.
Yeah, that 4-horsepower Briggs & Stratton really propels that 6'7" body, doesn't it? Yes. All right, so things that you can't tell. If, say, this was a track called Bubbly, and they were running something, what would they think that they would be having coming up?
Well, as for the improvements, I can't say that much.
Okay.
But as for what's going on with the schedule,
yes,
we actually have a few things that have twisted, if you will, in a very good way for us as well as spectators and you guys as well. The Michigan Gassers Association, which they do a lot of traveling, I think I'm slaughtering their contact name, though. It's a Gassers group that comes on in. Last year, we only had it for one time because Mother Nature just said, guess what? Not only do we have them one time, not two times. We're going for the old Augusta. We're going three times.
Really?
This summer. Yes, sir.
Gassers.
Yeah, I've got one more to throw in the wrench for you. You've always talked about jamming them 5-speeds
yep.
in the Barracuda.
And the 4-speeds. What? Three
that's
of the
what's
trees.
What's going on?
Okay. Really?
I've got some 5-speed Lincos and a couple Jerichos. They're going to come out for the Gassery event as well, and they are more than thrilled and more than happy if they can put on one heck of a show.
Okay, when's that?
We're going to do them there in July, and then we're trying to also get our stick shift guys, we do call them, to come back out once again in August. We're just trying to take and schedule that around good old Woodward.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because they do like to go down there, like to see you guys down there as well, and that's no joke. I unfortunately haven't been able to go down to Woodward in a couple of years. It just doesn't work, but that does happen. But they also did say that they are looking forward to having their own little circuit at our place.
Well, the wild thing is that the Dream Cruise this year is in theory, early. I mean, it's August 15th. Normally, it's in the 20-somethings. You know,
exactly.
So that really, I'm sure, through, because everybody's used to, you know, it being 23rd, 24th, 15th. What? That's almost like the second week of August, not the third. So, okay. Oh. So, gassers are coming July, did you say?
Yeah, they're going to be there in July.
Okay.
And I would have already had the schedule out, but I was the guy that said, oh, this is a leap year. Ouch. Let me take and reschedule everything I just put online. We also did take and we ripped apart our website from point A to point B, got a brand new one up, which took me a lot longer than expected. But, John, you know me, I'm one. If it's not perfect, redo it.
Amen, brother.
Mm-hmm. So that's all been revamped. And we took and did a whole bunch of different demographics on it. I still have probably 3,000 pictures I have to go through, and I had to pick one out of 3,000 to circle every day, which that's a little tough, but hey, it comes with the territory. So that's also what I'm working on to keep that up to date as quick as I can. And everything else I got going on is just, it's great right now.
Well, we do want to say, if you haven't seen or haven't come to the Ugly Dragway website, it is night and day from what you've ever seen before. You know,
oh, exactly.
This one, I am amazed that you did it. I guess I'm not amazed, frankly, because really the talents that you have. But my Lord, does that thing looks great this year.
Thank you. I got to give a big shout-out to Kendrin Thomas. He took and said, here's my program. I'm going to help you do this year the right way. I says, you know what? It's been 11 years since I've decided to learn to write code again. But him and the guys from a media company, they said, hey, you know what? I'd like for your headset. Let us help you build this. And I says, okay. So I have to do this my way. And we sat down about as many Saturdays as I possibly could and just started writing code and started putting things into play. And I was like, man, this is a lot harder than it used to be.
Yeah, well, at least you're not dealing with Fortran or anything, but God love you. It really does look good.
Thank you.
Anybody that goes to, I assume it's www.theuglydragway.com?
Cool. So we actually took and had to revamp that as well, which I did not know, and so I had actually a phone call from some people that are way higher than me. They said that, you know, since you still own your domain name, would you like to take and change it? I says, you know what? It's about time we also did a slight name change. It's actually uglydragway.michigan.com. And the reason for that is because, you know, I spoke with my dad, and my mom was like, let's make it our own. Let's make it our original. And I told my dad, I was like, now you can officially, you have an OG website that no one can ever touch ever again.
Job. Well done. I mean, it's colorful. It's very well laid out, you know. I mean, and the first thing that gets to you is there's a lot of excitement on that website. You know, before it used to be the welcome page, and now this is kind of like, where do you want to go page?
Exactly.
You know, and the first thing we did was we went to the swag page. We can't wait to see that thing get populated. You know, the first time you guys have hoodies and jackets and T-shirts and stuff, you know, we're sitting there. I mean, you could be the new Amazon for people mail ordering, you know, ugly stuff. Good luck to you, you know.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, if you could, like, mail, because I know that White Castles, you can buy a case and they send it to you anywhere wrapped in ice. You know, I would tell your mom to get heavy on that, the ugly dogs, and be able to ship it worldwide.
Oh, dear Lord, I got to see this done.
Anyways,
it's got to get past Greg first. That's hard to do.
Oh, my God. What else? What else we got on the schedule that's looking different this year?
We're also looking at throwing in one more race. I want to take and try to do a big copy tier, a delay box race. That's also something that we're working on. I got to get with a few of the colleagues in the next couple weeks to take and see, you know, how we can take and incorporate that into my schedule. As I said at the driver's meeting as well as the points banquet, which big shout out to Buddy's Pizzeria for having us.
Yep.
And the other thing that I really want to do is give a shout out to all my guys that came there. You know, thanks for showing up, everything else. But this year I also said that I want to take and do. I want to get my top ET class or a delay box class a lot bigger. I want to take and give that a pretty good push. and see what I can do to bring back, as I say, some down home heroes. You know, guys that still do box racing across, you know, from here, from Michigan to Ohio to Indiana. Just kind of open my arms and say, hey guys, come on back. My racetrack has changed. And, yeah.
All right, so tell the listeners who may not know what box racing is, delay box.
A delay box is it's a mechanical device. What it does is they call it a delay for two reasons. What you can do is you can type in your time. As if you're looking at your computer, you got the numbers on the very right-hand side. You take and punch in 6.81. That's your dial. And then type in what you think your opponent's dial might be. Go 5 flat. 5.00. Now, you come out of the burnout box, doesn't matter if you're a door car, dragster, drag bike, whatever the heck it may be, and you literally put on the very first top ball. That's called a pre-stage ball. You roll into the very next ball. That's called a stage ball. Now, what's going to happen is your opponent, whoever it may be, Tom, Dick, and Harry, could be a young female. Could be anybody. Yes, females are welcome in any class or have. I've had a few people go, can my daughter race in any class? You dang right you can, and she can put a whoop on some of the boys, too. We'll get on that topic another time, though.
Okay.
So what's going to happen is the very top ball is called an amber. You've got three of them, 1, 2, and 3, before you have a green light. Both top ambers are going to light at the very same time. You're going to see a guy's arm, could be his right arm, could be his left arm. You're going to see it flinch. And that's his delay box being set and saying, hey, hold on. Hit the brakes. Your delay has been set for 0.093. So you've got 900s, and next thing you're up like a rocket ship.
All right. Now, does this have, because there's other questions too. Now, this is run like a bracket, or is this heads up?
This is 100% bracket race.
Okay. Now, ready for part two, Professor?
Let it rip.
Explain within a few minutes what is the size of an intake valve on a Chrysler 340 1972 model?
Oh, dear.
No. It's 202, I'll tell you.
Let me go grab my driver, and let me run back inside and grab my Mopar guy and go, what size is it? I don't remember. You told me.
No. What is, because we had this discussion before, explain what bracket racing is.
Bracket racing is as simple as it sounds. No, it's not literally like you're looking at a bracket or a bracket that hangs wood on. That's what I said, not even close.
Okay.
I actually had that conversation today with a guy at work. He goes, what's bracket racing? I was like, what's your definition of bracket? He goes, hanging a piece of wood on it. And
okay.
Not even close.
Pay the man at the door. Thanks you.
A bracket race is as simple as it sounds. It's pretty simple. You're going to have what is called test and tune throughout the morning. You're going to find a time that you like, that your car runs, or that your car likes. It could be, like I said, 681. You can line up against anybody. It could be anybody on the planet. And their car could be the fast car. It could be 490. Well, guess what? We have what is called a handicap start. If you are the slow car, which would be 680, you would leave first. And the person that's next to you, doesn't matter if they're down, they're going to try like heck to run you down. And then it becomes a game, if you will. Because two things. One, that person to your right, they could have a little bit of nitrous oxide to help them get them to that stripe a little bit faster. But then they got to figure out, am I going too fast? Am I going too slow? Or am I just going to mess with this guy and I'm going to let him take that stripe and I'm going to make him lose? So there's a gameplay at the very far end, which makes me go, that's why it's called a bracket race, because you don't know who's there first, but you're guessing at it.
It's amazing. There you go. Thank you, Professor Nick.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Because it's not that complicated, but it is. I mean, it's like if you watch a football game like last night, and people said, oh, look, they're running the Tampa 2. If you're hip to football,
geez,
you know what we're talking about. If you're not, then it becomes a frustrational point. So if we can explain to folks, bracket racing is, you could have, and I'm playing this broadly now for those who, you could have a top fueler up against, you know, Greg on a mini bike. It's just the luck of the draw, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that whoever, so you can bring any car that's safe, has four wheels. I think you have to have
four doors. Gotta have doors.
Doors. Sorry, Greg, you can't race this year. But it's got to meet certain. I mean, if you had a Chevrolet Cavalier, you know, that your grandmother had in her garage, you conceivably could race it if it passes
tech. That is a very true statement.
I mean, what do they have to have? All right, so you have a stock block. I mean, grandma's Z24. What does the guy or gal have to bring with them? A helmet, right?
Please, 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 please bring a helmet. If you are on a crotch rocket, if you're on a drag bike, don't make me come out of the tower or make me stop what I'm doing. Whether I'm working the water box or I'm working the study line. As I tell people, I own a business. I wear many hats. I'm an announcer for 45 minutes. I'm jumping on a computer doing printouts, doing write-ups, doing internet. I'm working the water box. You name it, I do it. That's what I do. Please don't be that guy that's on a crotch rocket or on a drag bike that goes, I forgot my leathers today. I'm going to look at you and go, we got an issue because I'm not going to allow you to go down without being safe. If you're in a full body car, which is what we call a door car, if you don't have a helmet and you think your car might go fast, I've got a slight issue with that. We go by the guidelines of the IHRA. There is a rule book. If nobody has a copy and they would like one, call me, email me, text me. I will get you one yesterday. And the same thing goes with guys that are in a dragster. I have told several people, if you do not have arm restraints, I will be talking to you face-to-face because I want to see you in one piece and not on top of your noodle. True statement.
Okay. I mean, for people who have never raced before, because we got to get folks in there. I mean, not like you don't have enough cars, you do. But if there's people listening to us right now, and they have a wonderful 1981 Dodge Omni, and they
said, I gotta see it.
I was stretching there, but all right. So you show up, and they go, you know what? I'd really like to get into this bracket thing. What does my car have to pass tech with?
First thing I'm going to take, you know, if it's someone that I call green or someone that has never been down a racetrack before, and I literally will take them by the hand and go, this is how everything works from point A to point B. And I do it with a lot of people for a few reasons. One is for little kids so I can show them, you know, what we kind of do and where to stand if they want to take a picture or if they want to say, hey, can I take a picture? It's like, grab a hold of me. You're going to stand right here with me. That's as far as you're going. But if it's someone that's never been down a racetrack before, I will teach them as best I possibly can. Again, if they're in an Omni, I want to see this car because I haven't seen one in years.
Well, it's next to Grandma's Z24, yeah.
True.
Okay.
But I will go every, you know, over thing that is safe. And, you know, if you've never been down a racetrack before, I tell everybody, we're going to go 60 feet and you're going to just coast after that. For two reasons. One, they don't know what pimp juice is or how a track may or may not be prepped. They might have seen it on Discovery Channel going, hey, it's like no prep. No. I prep it, and then I don't suggest wearing flip-flops on the surface because you're going to lose them. Make sure your racing shoes are tight, tight. I've had quite a few pairs of those come off.
Yes, yeah. It's almost like an honor to have your foot stuck, and then you go, I can't go back and get it because my other foot will be stuck too. You know,
true statement. The neighbors look at me going, what do? Don't move.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get you. We'll bring the crane. What, I mean,
too.
When you look at their car, what do you look for when you see the Omni? And do you open the hood? I mean, you take a look at the tires. Do you inspect? But what do you do to make sure that you say, okay, this car reaches all my requirements?
Certainly, I mean, there is about 40 pages of things that, you know, are already stuck in my head. You know, does it have a proper catch can? Does it have proper seatbelts? If it doesn't have seatbelts, then I've got a big issue going, okay, you're not using a bungee strap and you're not sitting down on a milk crate.
Okay.
And then there's a lot of things that I go into. You know, is the battery properly tied down? If it's an original car, you know, this is what it's supposed to have, aka a fuel tank. Is that still properly mounted? I've slid underneath vehicles before and people go, why? Well, I like to see people in one piece. And I like seeing the Fireball Express, if you will.
Yeah.
And we also look at drive shaft loops. That's one thing people go, I've got one. And I've always slid the car going, where? Because I would really like to see where it's at and what you put around it. And usually people go, well, was there? I'm like, well, okay, then you're in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
Not the biggest trouble, but still something that I go, you know, I just check off on the list going, okay, this is not done. This needs to be taken care of. We look at tires. Tires are something that people don't even think about. Front tires, people laugh at me going, why would you check those? Well, two reasons. When was the last time I ever seen a tire blow out? I actually seen one a couple years ago, and it was quite scary just to watch.
Sure.
Thankfully, it all didn't happen on the racetrack. Thank God. The man upstairs, he was watching over somebody that day. But there's a lot of things that I look at safety-wise. If they do need a cage, I do have several different diagrams that have been sent to me from IHRA for Chevrolet products, Ford, Mopar, and a few import ones that I just go, okay, they're imports, you figure it out. And I literally hand it to them going, this is what is supposed to be drawn up for your vehicle or what your cage is supposed to look like. And then I usually have fabricators I can call to literally give them a price within an hour.
Wow.
Yep.
So you don't send any, well, in theory, you would have to tell people you might want to park your car right now, today, you know, but this
True.
Is, next time you come around, if you have these, we'd love to have you do the eighth mile waltz, mm-hmm. quarter mile,
exactly.
with us. Okay.
Exactly. I mean, even some people have said, you know, can I just make a hit? And usually I'm the one that goes, if you want to make a hit, it's 60 feet, and the car better not be going no more than 10 mile an hour after that. And usually they're pretty good about it. I've had a few stinkers, if you will, and I've only marched down to them going, we had a little talk about 10 minutes ago, and usually like, I know. It's like, okay, this is your one and only warning. You ever do that again, your name goes on the book.
Wow.
Which has only happened twice.
Is there actually people banned from Ubley?
No, heck no. I've never banned a soul for a racetrack. I just tell them it goes in the book saying, hey, guess what? You got in trouble one day. You know, back this your day, you know, just want to let you know, we still take and keep an eye on people.
You know, is it easier, Nick, to tech, higher level, I'm looking for a better term, for racers? You know, I mean, as opposed to the stock car. I mean, the cars are running a lot faster. They kind of know what they need already. I mean, do you ever have to really say, dude, where's your?
Once in a blue moon, we get something, you know, some fast door cars that are running 540s, 550s. You know, they're doing 120, 130, 135 mile an hour in 660 feet. Once in a blue moon, you know, we'll flat out rip apart a car going, okay, so-and-so said that you're missing a bar, you're good. It's not very often that someone says, hey, you know, I know he's missing a bar. Then it's like, okay. I really have pulled cars aside going, give me 20 minutes, and I'll tell you exactly what he's missing or if he's got an injury. That does not happen very often. It's happened at a national event more than once. But the now, if you will, stock cars, which these cars are getting wicked fast,
yeah,
they are extremely hard to tech because you literally have to go by the make, the model, and the year the car was produced.
Wow. Okay.
And some of them are allowed to not have a cage, which still scares the crap out of me.
They don't have to have a cage? Why?
Because per the specifications of GM, Mopar, as well as Ford, they have said that the structural stability of the car is better than it was in the past. And that's almost word-for-word verbatim from the IHRA rule book. And they have found out that these cars will pass tech at this level. So it's like, crap.
What body style are they talking about?
It's the new Coupe Camaros, the Coupe Mustangs, and the drag packs.
Wow. And they don't have to have roll cages. Wow.
Because they're already built into the structural support is what they're defining it as.
It's almost counterintuitive, isn't it? When you look at it and you go, dude, something's missing here. Wow.
Right, and then usually you stick your head in the car going, okay, he's got a cage, but where the heck's the rest of it? And that's usually when we grab the book and go, okay, so he's good here. Hey, the dude's able to run. Let's sucker rip. Have some fun, dude.
Yeah, you know, is there any big rule changes with the IHRA this year?
The biggest one, actually, which I thought was kind of cool, kind of crazy, kind of mix of both, they're actually allowing junior dragster drivers, which are going to be allowed from 17 to 18 years old, take that back, excuse me, 16 to 18 years old, they're going to do what is called a extreme class.
Extreme?
Right now, the extreme class. Right now, the junior dragsters are broken down by age, you know, how fast you can run, your ET, so on and so forth. And when you hit from 16 to 18,
yeah,
it used to be the cut was 790, 80 mile an hour. They actually took and bumped it to 750, 95 miles an hour.
In a junior dragster?
Heck yes.
Okay, what's the age limit now?
17 to 18.
17 to 18 can go 90 miles per hour in the eighth mile in a junior dragster.
Yep. Don't 100% quote me. I don't have my rule book in front of me, so I can say, hey, this is the exact amount.
Okay.
But I believe it's up to 90 mile an hour.
And what kind of engine modifications can they have more this year than they could have in years past?
That's the question I don't know. I do know that the guys from Blossom Motorsports, shout out to them as well. I actually know the owner of Blossom quite well. I believe it's the same motor, same setup. You just take a little bit of weight out is what I was told.
That's it?
According to a few people I've undertaken that from, but again, don't quote me because, I'm not 100% sure on what all goes in those little motors because it's pretty wicked.
Yeah, I mean, how much do those things weigh, Nick?
A junior itself?
Yeah.
140 pounds.
The whole rail weighs 140 pounds?
Heck yeah, two people can lift it up. We do it all the time.
Wow, I would never have thought that. With motor, wet.
That's with motor, wet. The motor itself is probably 30, 35 pounds.
No
maybe
kidding.
Maybe a little more than that. And then the whole entire chassis, it's 100 pounds. It's pretty much all chromoly.
Wow. You know, the funny thing is that going to raise the prices on junior dragster parts or is it going to lower them?
Oh, I got to feel like I should shoot it right to the roof.
Yeah, because now you have, I mean, how do you budget for that? How do you, what kind of, I mean, does anybody have like a national or a $5,000 junior dragster extreme event? I mean, this is super new, isn't it? I mean, obviously it's new, but.
There is one down in Bristol, Atlanta, as a matter of fact, is where the racetrack is located at, and that is for $50,000, and they pay cash.
Wow.
They also hold one in Memphis, Tennessee. I believe that one there is 4 days, 10, 20, 50, and 10.
Holy. Okay. Well, now, how many junior? Because we know we have a brother-sister team at Ubley, correct?
That's correct.
And they are?
Pierce Van Heeren and Abigail.
And Abigail takes it to them.
I would hate to be in that vehicle on the way home. No, there ain't no way. Heck no.
Now, how many people, is there I shan't say a national event, but is there an event at Ubley for junior dragsters? I mean, not obviously a full day event, but I mean, will there be a junior dragster extreme and junior dragster plus bracket racing
day? Well, I'm not going to do the full extreme class, if you will. But I am in the works of getting my junior program, you know, starting to rebuild that as I can, as quick as I can. Because that's also another class I just want to grab a hold of. But I also do and am trying to house two big junior shootouts this year.
Really?
We've done them in the past for about $3,000. And I'm trying to do the same again. It's just I need a little help from some sponsors that I own there. So anybody got some money laying around to give some kids, that's what we're trying to do. I can say that we are ones that we give back to our drivers and as best we can to help them out with, whether it's a race program, motor, whatever it may be, we go above and beyond.
You know, talking about above and beyond, good Lord, is that the biggest race you have this year, the five biggest ones you're going to have at Ubley in 2020 is going to be what?
Five biggest ones I have of this Grandfather's Race in June. That's the Arthur Red Janet Memorial Race, as well as Budweiser Classic. The Budweiser Classic is in July. There's my July 4th kickoff. I got to give a quick shout-out to Bristol Steel and Classic Cars and More. They helped me out with my grandfather's race. They actually knew him, which I actually was getting filled in on details on that, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
I also have my Mopar versus the World in October. I have my Halloween and Polar Bear Classic in October. It's my last one of the year. And I also have Labor Day weekend. And I also have Memorial Day weekend. I'm trying to squeeze in a couple more big ones in there just to try to spruce it up to do everything I can to keep my guys going.
Now, racing begins at Ubley when?
It's going to be Memorial Day. It will be my very first points race. But the track will be open first of April.
All right, so it's going to be a month of test and tune because Mother Nature is really weird in Michigan, and it's weirder in April than any other month. Good
idea. Tell me about it. I want to go make some hits right now. It sucks.
Yeah,
I have plenty of fresh guys that I can go make a hit on, but...
Oh, yeah, that's right. We totally forgot. It poured all those days, and they go, well, it's good for the concrete. Yeah, it's good for the concrete.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I like how guys said, it's getting the concrete clean. Yeah, that too.
Yeah. All right. The schedule comes out.
I am pushing to get that sucker out as fast as I possibly can. We were shooting for February 1st. I fumbled a couple things, but I am pushing to get it out here in the next week and a half to have that sucker done.
All right, and that's going to be up on your website. We want to know more about it before anybody else does.
John, you guys always get the first insight. You guys know that. You guys get one fresh hot off the press.
You know what, something? Are you going to have the gassers in May? Did you get a firm day for that?
I don't have the exact firm date. Due to the fact their schedule actually got really busy with Indy and Norwalk falling a week and a half apart. So I was like, oh, crap.
Wow.
So... they made a small error, I guess, on their schedule because it was supposed to go Indy, our place, Grand Bend, was supposed to be a 3-week swing, and Norwalk jumped in there. Someone forgot to tell them that they also had Norwalk to go to, so.
Oops.
It was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's kind of major. shout out to Summit Motorsports Park, Bill Bader, Bill Sr. Love you guys, miss you guys. I'll see you guys soon. But yeah, so we're trying to finalize that there before I take it, say, here it is, let it rip.
All right, so when you get your gasser date down, your actual gasser, because you're talking about having multiple gasser dates?
Heck yes, bring them buggers out. The straight axles, them things are cool.
Yeah, they are. They're absolute, because what we want, this is what we want to do. See if you'll make room for us, if you'd be so kind, and that includes...
Me make room for guys from CKNW crew? Shoot!
All right, we definitely want to do a gasser one, because we think that's going to be a blast. You know,
oh, God, yes.
To everybody. Clearly, we want to do the Mopar versus the World, because we kind of got missed 2 years ago, and we want to make up for that this year. And whenever the stick shift shootout is going to be... Whenever that gets in, we want those dates, and we also want to see if we can't get in your grandfather's race, because I think that's just respect for the track.
Oh, God, yes. God, yes.
So those are the dates. Hold for us. We just told everybody worldwide and everybody that's on Alexa Amazon products.
Oh, God, yes. Shout out to Amazon and Alexa and you guys, because that is bad to the bone. Not to lie, I actually got one here at the office. And it's kind of cool.
Awesome. Here's your $5. Don't tell anybody. Nick, what did we forget? What did we not? Oh, yes. People who want to stand on the starting line and let the cars go between them as they go out of the box and get to the tree is...
That ain't going to happen.
There you go.
That is 100% forbidden. If you are a crew chief, and I mean one, not 50.
yeah.
I've got no issue with you pulling in, you know, somebody in the water box. But if you were to say, they're all my crew, it's like, no. Hit the brakes. One, because A, if you ever get hit by a stone, a bolt, and anything, it hurts like a son of a gun. It's called, nope, there's a yellow light. You guys can stay right there. And I also have nice fencing. I've got seating for everybody. Please stay over there.
Yeah, because that becomes... is this passé now? I mean, yeah, you saw it on TV, and yeah, it's like a big deal, but, you know, really, you're right. It only takes one thing to get – drive a motorcycle without a helmet and let a bee hit you in the head, you know, at 70 miles per hour. That's nothing for having something go on the line that you didn't see happen or you didn't see go kaboom because of the people that try to drive through the people to do to the burnout box. They don't have the 82 four-cylinder Omnis that they're doing this with. You know, they're doing it with some severe machinery, and anything can happen in drag racing, kids. You know?
True statement.
It's an amazing thing. What did we – did we cover all the bases?
John, I think we've got everything covered on this meet, young man.
All right. Anybody we want to thank while we're out there?
I got to give my guys a shout here at Champion Service for letting me take 45 minutes to be on the radio with you guys.
Yes.
Shout out to all of my sponsors, Be Cool Radiators, J-Rock, Justin LaRock from Essexville for helping us out as always, Mickey Thompson, Hoosier, Sunoco. The list goes on. I could be your name and names all day. BTE, Abruzzi, Viondo, DJ Safety. I have to shout out to all those guys because guess what? They take and supply my guys to keep them safe. They supply them a race fuel, which is always good to go. And a big shout out to you guys at CKIW for A, having me on radio, B, laughing with me because that's what I do.
You're an amazing guy, Nick. Thanks a lot. Hang on the line. We want to talk to you right after that. But that's Nick Jenowick from the home of the hot ones. Are you going to go back to that saying, back to that slogan?
No, you better believe it. That is the OG saying that's still on that board, and that board is never coming down.
I know. I kind of, you know, that's cool, say the least. Hang on. Ugly Dragway is where you want to go this summer. Take a look. It's one of those five tracks in Michigan this year, and you will be surprised. Go in there, go grab that ugly dog, but, you know, it is a fun track. Thank you, Nick. CKWI Radio 76 keeps going on with Bruce Springsteen and Born to Run.